The next gentleman that's coming up here, I met at Joy Gendusa's event, I don't know, maybe 2 or 3 years ago. Patrick has spoken at Inner Circle before. How many of you have seen Patrick Balton before? Is this guy amazing, over the top, or what? See, if I put you after lunch, that means either I don't like you or you're amazing, one of the two, all right? I like this guy, so translate that. He's really good. The subject is hiring. How many of you know if you hire the wrong person, nothing else works, right? So his system, his training kit is the best that I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot. So please welcome to the front of the room, Mr. Patrick Balton.
So you like me?
I like you. I like you. Yes, I do.
I'm glad. Hello, everyone. So a few new faces. I recognize some of you. That means about a third of the room is already used to my accent. Everybody else, you have about 2 minutes. And I am supposed to talk to you about the most important, the most dramatic subject of success in any type of organization. Everything you learn here is really amazing, and yet is totally useless if you don't know how to hire good people. Would you agree with that? And considering the current economic conditions in America, we have about 3.4% of unemployment, which means that those 3.4% of unemployed people, they don't want to work. That means that today you need to shift your viewpoint when you try to select and hire good people. So I'm going to give you, within approximately 1 hour, I'm going to give you some shocking statements, which hopefully will make you more motivated to become the best headhunter that you can. Here's the first shocking statement. Today, if you want to hire good salespeople, good people, whether it's sales, administration, or management, you don't hire those people, you steal them. They have a job. And if you don't know how to legally, of course, steal them from where they are working, you are not going to attract them. So you have to be willing to do something that you've never done before. Reach out. Not wait for people to respond to your ad, your posting on the job board. You're going to have to learn, as a business owner, as a top executive, you have to be willing to reach out. And if you're not willing to do that, nobody will come to say hi. We live in a 120% candidate-driven market. Not even 100%. I was saying that 2 years ago, 100%. Today, 120%. What does that mean? They dictate the conditions more than what you do. Would you agree with that? They dictate the conditions more than you do. And if you don't agree with the conditions, they know they'll find another job. And I'm talking only about good people, qualified people, people who can definitely contribute to the success of your organization. They know they have a choice. Are you aware of that? Are you aware of that? Okay, give me a favor. Raise your hand if you are aware of what I just said. Because now I have another question coming soon. Raise your hand again. So you are aware of what I just said, right? They have a choice. So here's the next question, and I'm going to see how many people are going to raise their hands. If you are aware of that, are you also fully aware that the first challenge of marketing has nothing to do with hiring? Your first challenge when you try to attract good people has nothing to do with recruitment or hiring. Nothing. Your first challenge in trying to get good people on board has nothing to do with hiring. What does it have to do with? It has to do a lot with sales, but before sales. Your first challenge has nothing to do with hiring. Your first challenge is a marketing challenge. It's a marketing challenge. That is your biggest challenge. Why? Well, I just told you a couple of seconds ago that we are living in a 120% candidate-driven market. They have the choice. It's really paradise for them as much as it is hell for employers today. Do you know that good employees, and I will define what a good employee is in a few minutes, good employee, by the time they decide secretly, passively, to look for another job, because they do have a job, right? They're going to spend on average about 2 to 3 months to look for another job while they are being employed by you or by someone else. That means that between those 2-3 months that they are busy looking for something else, what's going to happen to their productivity? What's going to happen to their commitment? See? And if you don't observe and confront that, because they are indicators, they start to communicate less with you. They start to come late. They give you more excuses. If you don't really observe that, you lose them and you don't even realize what happened. So that means today that if you want to attract good people, because your challenge is not to find them, that's a force problem. All right? Let me say it again. Your challenge is not to find them. Your challenge is to attract them, which is the purpose of marketing. How many of you are actually waiting for customers to call in so you can close them? How many of you are actually doing that? Waiting for customers to call in. Raise your hand if you do that. 1 out of 90. Wow, what's your business? Okay, you're lucky. Because if you wait for good customers to show up and buy from you, you'll go broke in a second. No, you have to reach out. That's the purpose of marketing. The purpose of marketing is to attract potential customers, bring them in on the phone, at the store, and motivate them to buy from you. Makes sense, right? It's exactly the same thing for personnel acquisition. If you are in the mood of talent acquisition, you need to apply the golden rules of marketing as much as it applies to your business. Now, here's the tricky question. Do you know how much money you spend on marketing to sell more of your product? I hope you do. How many of you know? Percentage of your sales. How many of you know how much you are spending on marketing? What is your marketing budget to attract more customers? Raise your hand again. How many of you know? If you don't know, you don't control it. It's very well known that you should spend at least 10 to 15% of your turnover for marketing purposes. That's a lot of money. That means if you do 1 million, you should be able to spend 100,000 minimum on marketing. If you do 10 million, you should be willing to spend 1 million, 10% minimum. That's a golden rule of marketing. Oh yeah? How much do you spend now to attract good people? That is a very good question. And the reason I'm asking you that question is because it's my number one frustration as a professional recruiter. When I tell a client, this is going to cost you to post the job on so many job boards, it's going to cost you at least so much per month. And they say, are you crazy? We don't have that money. Whatever the position you have to fill, can you give me an approximate number of how much you should be willing to spend on marketing to attract the right person every single month? And I'm talking about one position, not 10. One position, a sales rep, a marketing person, a producer, whatever it is, how much money do you think you should be willing to spend? Because if you don't spend it, your competitors will. Give me a number. Raise your hand who said that. You spend $1,000 for a position. You are above the average, I can tell you that. This is fantastic. What do you think the average is? How much money do small businesses spend to try to attract good people on a monthly basis? Okay, the average is less than $200. That's what it costs you to optimize a promotion on Indeed for 2 weeks. It costs $200. You need to understand, by the way, everybody knows what job boards are, right? Job boards, Indeed, Craigslist, ZipRecruiter, right? What most small businesses do not understand is that those job boards, they work like a search engine. They work exactly the same way as Google, Bing, Yahoo, which means that if you place an ad for free on those job boards, how many of you do that? You take advantage of free ads. How many of you do that? Wait a minute. How many of you are using job boards? Look around. If you are not using job boards today, ladies and gentlemen, you are invisible to good people. Let me say it again. If you are not using job boards, online job boards, and there's about 2,000 job boards in America, so not just Indeed. Indeed is the biggest one, not always the best. If you don't promote a vacant position on minimum, now you're going to get scared, 40 to 60 job boards, your competitors who do it will attract better people. Your biggest challenge today is to attract them, not to find them. You are a small business. You are competing. Do you know with how many other businesses you are competing when you try to find good people? All of them. Thank you. Whereas in your industry, you might have 20, 50 competitors. When it comes to hiring good people, every single week you are competing with 2,000 to 5,000 companies in your area. Are you aware of that? So knowing what you should do when you have a lot of competition, because in your business you have a lot of competition, but you fight. You do what it takes. You increase the marketing budget, you become better marketers, you use better PR. You have to do exactly the same thing when it comes to attracting good people. Right? Small business do not understand the importance from a financial viewpoint. The importance of showing those potential candidates that you are doing what it takes, number one, to be visible on the employment market. Because if you use job boards only, free advertising on job boards like Indeed, Craigslist, you know, sometimes you can post for free. Guess what they do with your ad? You're at the bottom. That means there's another couple of thousand ads before yours for that specific type of position. Right? So the bad news is, in a very competitive environment, you have to be more willing to do what it takes to be, number one, visible on the market. I'm not talking about being, you know, competitive yet. I'm talking about being visible. That's number one. Number two is to be competitive on the employment market. But number one is to be visible. And that's the biggest flap that I observe with small businesses. They are not visible enough. Sir, may I ask you a question? So you spend about $1,000. How many job boards are you posting the job on?
I think we do 13 or 14 of them.
All right. Could you give me a couple of names of them?
Indeed, Monster.
Okay. All right. But you spend $1,000. How many candidates do you get? Did you hear what he just said? He just said, I'm wasting $1,000 every month. That's what you're saying, right? It's kind of a contradiction to what I was just saying, right? But no. No, what it tells me from a consulting viewpoint is, you know, you are not using the right buttons. Hiring is marketing. What are the buttons you need to use to attract someone who has a job? And the biggest mistake you never want to do, you never want to make that mistake, is to attract candidates with money. And yet, that's what most companies do. They try to attract candidates with money because they know they have a choice. They are not going to leave a job to find a less paid job. So they are tending to attract, you know, candidates with the subject of money, which is a big, 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 big mistake. But I'll tell you what you need to use. What are the buttons that you need to use? Right? So your most important job, your hat, your most vital hat, for the sake of the expansion of your organization, whether you like it or not, is to be a great headhunter as a business owner or top executives. If entrepreneurs like Steve Jobs, or the owner, the CEO of Starbucks, what's his name again? Schultz. Yeah, looks French to me. If those guys are spending 40 to 50% of their weekly time as CEOs in human resources, why is that? See, everybody agrees that Steve Jobs was the most admired entrepreneur in the world. We all agree with that, especially after he left. You know, have you noticed that people, they get recognized when they go? Right? But what many people don't know about him, he personally interviewed and evaluated more than 5,000 candidates. Personally. How many of you have interviewed 5,000 candidates? You know how long it takes to interview 5,000 candidates? Full-time job, almost 3 years. Why would he do that? Howard Schultz spends 45% of his time with his HR department. Not with strategy, not with the CFO. No, with human resources. Why is that? By the way, I am not promoting Starbucks. I think they have a horrible coffee, but I'm Belgian. All right? But I will definitely brag about how they are good at attracting good people. You know, one of the first criteria of selection at Starbucks, no matter where you are, no matter what job you're going to take, the first criteria, can that person smile naturally? It has nothing to do with technical skills. They don't ask them first, hey, you know how to make coffee? They never ask that question, because they're going to teach them. See? But they know what drives people, and that's what I'm going to talk to you. What are those buttons, those marketing secrets that you need to use in order to attract people who have a job? Does that make sense? And I only have an hour to close you on the idea that you should be the best recruiter you can be. I remember after giving this kind of seminar to a bunch of people, it was in Boston, about 4 or 5 months later, one of the attendees sends me an email and he says, hey, call me when you have a time, when you have 5 minutes. I call the guy the next day and he tells me his success story. One of the advice I gave them during the seminar is this. I said, the best source of attracting good people that you might ever use, the best source ever, is your business card. That's the best source. And I was telling them, you know, if you don't like to prospect because you are a business owner and you don't think you should be involved in doing that, every time you talk to someone, give them your business card, but at the back of your business card, you will have written the following statement. We are growing fast. We need help. If you know anyone, get them to call us. This gentleman happens to travel a lot through America. He's spending half of his life in airports. And when he was getting bored, he started to do that. Start to get in touch with people, give them the business card, and he said, within the 3-4 months, Patrick, I did not spend $1 on marketing on job boards. Every single recruitment I did was a referral from my business card. I don't know, you pay how much? So, business card. You have business cards. You give business cards all over, hopefully. Every day you give business cards. Especially if you travel. On the one side, on the back side of your business card, you could write a nice statement that says something like this. That has been, by the way, my line for the last 30 years, and it still works. We are growing fast. We need help. If you know anyone, send them to this link. Ask them to call us. So you can put a link, all right, to your career page. Or you tell them, call us. It's only one idea out of a gazillion that you could use. The reason I'm saying this is you've got to be creative to attract good people. You've got to do stuff that others don't do. If most of your competitors use the free advertisement, the free posting on Indeed, well, guess what? You should pay $200 minimum to boost, at least for 2 weeks, that position. So it will appear on the top of the list, at least for a week or two. Your number one priority is to be visible on the market. Okay? Now, in order to be visible, you have to use all those tools that are out there. And of course, the most classical tools today are the job boards online. As I said, there's about 2,000 job boards in America. How many of you knew that? 2,000 job boards in America that you could use. 2,000! Nobody knows that. When we hire for a client, we use between 100 and 150 job boards. That means that your posting will be visible on 100 to 100 job boards. Do you think that would give you more visibility? Okay, let me give you a couple of tips. Howard told me, Patrick, if you don't give them tips, I'll beat you. So I have no choice. All right, here's a tip. How many of you know about ZipRecruiter? All right, check it out. ZipRecruiter, when you use them, they will systematically post your job on about 60 to 80 different job boards. Work together with someone else. They basically, you know, they do strategic alliances. So when you pay them, they will systematically distribute your posting to another, depending on the industry, depending on the area, between 50 and 80 job boards. But here's a better tip that will cost you much less money, all right? But please never mention that I gave you that tip. There's a startup company, and I know because we're working with them, they will do the same thing as ZipRecruiter, but for three times less the money. How many of you would like to know which one that is? See, that's how I'm checking if you guys are awake. Maybe I should have asked you a question first. How many of you are planning to hire someone in the next 3 months? Okay, so some of you definitely were asleep. Too good of a lunch. Here's the question again. If you could get access to probably 80 to 120 job boards in one shot, for the third of a price that some of them could ask you, who would be interested? All right, good. I was thinking maybe it's my accent, you know? Okay, the name of the company is betterteam.com. Betterteam.com. Better team. They pretend they have a better team. That's why they say betterteam.com. All right? I have personally investigated that company the last 6 months. They are worth it. You will get more for your money. It will cost you three times less money to work with them, and they will usually post your job on more job boards. And remember, that's your first challenge, visibility, before you can even think of being competitive, which I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. Now, visibility, good. You get your job posted on 100, 120 job boards, which is fantastic. What do you think those people are going to do when they see your post? They're going to check you out. 97% of candidates will check you out before even sending their resumes. That's over 9 out of 10. Now, when I say they'll check you out, they'll check you out where? Number one is your website. Number two is Facebook. Number three is LinkedIn. How many of you have a dedicated career page which has its own tab, you know, it's one specific dedicated page on your website. Raise your hand. For careers. Look around. 10% of you. 15% of you. Here's the bad news. If you don't have the dedicated career page as part of your business website, you are basically telling people that either you don't exist or you are old-fashioned. Chances are when you place an ad, chances are you're going to get millennials responding to it. As you know, probably, millennials will be the majority employees in the next 7 years. By the year 2022, when you hire someone, that person will be millennial. That will be the majority of people looking for a job. So you need to be visible and real to those kids. And some of you are, and I'm sure that you will agree with me. If you do not have a dedicated career page, you have to ask your webmaster to make one. It's extremely important. Why? Because it tells those people that they're important. Your website has the purpose of attracting clients, right? That's the purpose of a website. Well, guess what? If you have no employee, you are not going to get any clients. You need employees. So why don't you dedicate some space to show them that you are visible, that they are important for you? And that leads me to ask you the next question. What do you think should be on that page? What should you have on that page? Employee testimonial, that's number three. Beautiful, that's number three. But yes, you should absolutely have employee testimonials. What format? Video, ideally. Why? Again, it's marketing. Millennials don't read, they watch. Not just millennials, by the way. In America, on average, this is a marketing tip, in America, on average, people will watch 6.2 times more a video than they will read written content. 6.2 times more effective, you and I included, not just the young people. So then you are right. Absolutely, you want to have employee testimonials. Ideally, make sure you choose happy employees. No, you think I'm kidding. I've seen clients say, why did you bring that? Are you kidding me? You want to go bankrupt? Anyway, what should be number one? A personal introduction from the business owner about the vision of the business. Absolutely. Again, I'm giving you an ideal scene. It should be ideally video format. You don't have to spend thousands of dollars on the video. Just be natural. Today it's very easy. It is very important. Do you know why? People do not work for companies. People work for people. Even if they don't report to you as a business owner, they will want to know who they are going to work for. So giving a 2-3 minutes max introduction video about who you are as a company, what you are doing, where you are going. I'm giving you a very important tips on a concentrated form here. Let me say it again. What should you talk about in your video? Who are we? What we do? Where are we going? Meaning, what is the future looking like with our business? If you join us, what's the future going to look like? Where are we going? Extremely important. What are our values? Our vision, mission statement, and values. What do we fight for? Very important to be clear about that. What is the culture of this organization? What is the management style? And of course, applying the rules of marketing, you know what management style you want to communicate to those people. Because it's part of the trend. I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. So when you talk about your management style, you want to make sure that you know what you are talking about. For example, how many of you are already applying flexible schedule in the business? Okay, about 30% of you. By surveys, investigation, this is the number one criteria which will lead someone to find another job. It's not money. It's a flexible schedule. Especially young generation, they don't think like old people like me. I was only interested to work hard. That was my only interest. And I know that some of you, that's how you operate in life. Younger people, no. They want to have a balance. Do you know that almost 30% of the female workforce, they are single mothers? Almost 30%. If they can have a flexible schedule, they will take that job. One of my clients and a personal friend, Howard was talking about her, George Anduza. She owns a marketing company, Postcard Mania. She has about 260 employees, and 80% of them are ladies. I don't know why, it's just the nature of the business. And a few years back, I was training her executive team to be more competitive with talent acquisition, and she was complaining that they were losing a lot of people. The turnover of people was too high. It was almost 25%, whereas the average is 30% in America. So I told her, hey, listen, don't beat yourself. You are below the average. She said, yeah, but we need to reduce that. It's a major loss of money, energy, etc. So we did a little investigation. Most, over 90% of those employees who were leaving were ladies. I called them. I made an investigation. I found out, why is it that you are leaving? Because the schedule is too tight. It's too difficult for me. I have my kid at school, or if my kid is sick, I have to be able to call in and say, listen, I'm going to be an hour late. So from that time on, that was about 4 years ago, she installed a more flexible schedule for everyone. And she did other stuff too that I will tell you about. But today, her turnover is less than 18%. I think it's about 17%. Well, it's 10% less, right? Does it make a difference at the end of the year? Just by applying one thing. Listening to your people and finding out what could make their life easier, what could make them naturally more motivated to keep working with you. See? So coming back to that video, introductory video about the business, be very personal, be very natural, and tell them, who are we, what do we do, where are we going, why you should join us. What is our management style? What are our values? What's our culture? If you don't talk about it, and another business next to yours talks about it, and I'm only talking about good candidates. I'm definitely not talking about people who are just looking for a paycheck. I'm talking about good people. Because ladies and gentlemen, I have good news for you. There's tons of good people in America. They are out there. They are there. It's just they cannot find you. But they are out there. You know, you might think it's bad news, the fact that we have barely 3% unemployment. I just came back from Czech Republic 3 days ago. They have 2% unemployment. Right? So it's tight. It's very competitive. Guess what? Here's good news. The market is very volatile. Very volatile. 90% of the jobs that are taken by people who had a job. The rest of the jobs, they are taken by people who were taking a long period of holiday, you know. I don't know the name of the jail, it depends what state you are in. But over 90% of them who take a job, they have a job. That's good news for you. See? So, you have to be visible. Now, that's the first thing you need to have on that page. And, you know, and I'm putting most of my time to talk to you to really, hopefully, give you the message that you need to invest more in marketing. You need to have a more marketer's viewpoint. You need to know that if you want to expand, it's going to depend first on your ability to attract good talent. Not to find them, to attract them. All right, so number one, we're talking about the introduction from the business owner. Number two. I'm sorry? It's too early. How many of you have someone in the company who is holding the post of HR manager? Even if it's a half-time job, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, even if you are two or three people in your company, one of you should be the HR manager. Now let me make it very clear, because this is absolutely vital. If you don't have someone, even if he or she is doing something else, all right, someone has to be formally posted as the HR manager. I don't care if it's just two of you. But one of you has to be aware, informed, that if you don't hold that position, what's going to happen? Nothing. You won't grow. HR manager is one of the top three positions you should look at. Number one, CEO, because he does everything. Number two, sales and marketing manager. Number three, HR manager. Did you notice I didn't say production manager or delivery manager? No, that's the CEO from above. You have, as soon as you can, you have to plan to have someone who's going to take care of people in your organization. Because as a CEO, you don't have the time. And I know what you are thinking. Yeah, but that costs money. The HR department is a cost department. It's not a profit department. And I say the HR department could be the biggest cost in your business or the major source of all your profits. How many of you have lost a very good employee and you know how much it cost you to lose that person? How many of you have lost someone like that? Right? It's not a matter of how much you were paying that person every month. It's how much money that person was bringing every month. That's what you lost. Right? An HR manager has many responsibilities. One of them is to hire the good people, and the second one is to make sure they don't leave you. Have you ever noticed that you never lose bad people? That's crazy, isn't it? You only lose the good ones. The bad ones, are you kidding? You pay them, they don't do the job, you probably do the job instead.
They reproduce.
And you pay them for that? See, you don't lose bad people, you lose only good people. And let me tell you from an experience viewpoint, 72% of the cases when you lose good people, there was no reason for losing them. I challenge you, $1 million on the table, I could prove it to you. 3 times out of 4, you didn't have to lose them. So you want to make sure that whatever treasure you have there, which are the people, you keep them. By the way, I want to challenge a little bit what Rick? Where's Rick? Oh, he's not there? Yeah, Rick, where is he? That's okay, he's out. That's better because I'm going to challenge him. So I would rather challenge him when he's out of the room. I heard this morning Rick asking the question, what is the most important resource in the company? What did you say?
People.
You said people. And I say it's not true. Your most important resource in the business is not people. You know what it is? I'm sorry? Where is it? Thank you. Yeah, the word is good. That's not the one I'm looking for, but I agree with you. Your most important resource is the right people. That's a very different viewpoint. The right people. I want to give you a rule that I just made up. I was doing a leadership seminar and I didn't know what to say, so I made up a few rules. I call it the rule of five. Yeah, you're going to like it. The rule of five. Out of 5 people, whatever you hire, and you will see it applies to your existing business. Out of 5 people, one of them, no matter what, will always get the job done. No matter what. They are amazing. They are dedicated. They are able. They have talent, they have willingness, dedication. 1 out of 5. That's statistically, you know, you heard about the 80-20 law, right? It's called the law of Pareto. 1 out of 5 will always get the job done no matter what. They don't necessarily have the highest IQ. They don't necessarily have the highest level of hard skills, but they are making things go right. They might sometimes be a pain in the butt, excuse my French, but they make things go right. How many of you have at least one person like that, besides you? Okay? So you need to recognize those people. Because ideally, you would want to deal only with those people. Ideally. I'm not kidding. When you know why they are those type of people, you can actually benchmark. You know what that means, right? Benchmarking? You basically copy what works. Because those people, as I said, they might not have all the technical skills that are needed, but they are willing. They are dedicated. They like what they do. They are proud of their job. They are proud of their organization. They are your angels. Okay, so, back to 5. I was showing you my thumb, now I'm showing the other one. Out of 5 people, there's always one. That's my pinky. No matter what you do, no matter how much dedication you show to improve that person, to make them more able, no matter what, they will not make it go right. They will give you trouble. I am not judging them. I'm only saying probably they are the wrong person in the wrong place or whatever. But statistically, 80% of your problems come from 20% of your people. That's one out of five. No matter what. You cannot manage those people like you manage those people. If you try to manage those different people the same way, it's going to be trouble. You're going to upset that person, and that person will take more power. You know why? Because that person, you can trust them. You cannot trust those people. So if you apply the same management principles to both of them, you're going to make both of them, one of them is going to be upset, the other one is going to get more power. Again, I'm not judging them, but guess what? This is not a social activity running a business. Would you agree with me? I don't know about you, but socialism doesn't work in a business. It does not. You perform. And if you perform, you'll be my hero. And if you don't perform, you won't be my hero. That's the simplicity of it. See? So you need to be able to recognize those people, because it has absolutely nothing to do with intelligence, IQ, technical skills. In fact, there's more chance that you find those people among those most qualified candidates. That's my experience. You don't have to agree with me, and if you don't, you can challenge me after the break. But that's my experience. You have more chances to find this type of person within the most qualified technically. So they are dangerous. You need to make sure that you know how to recognize them. All right? Okay. What about the three in the middle? The three in the middle depend entirely on you. If they are going to be successful, if they are going to perform, if they are going to be productive, if they are going to have fun on the job, it all depends on you. They could go that direction, they could go that direction. They don't know where to go. It depends where you are putting your attention. Right? But why I'm saying this to you is you need to be able to recognize what does it mean to have the right people. All right? So, having said that, do you know, by any chance... Oh, before I ask that question. So I was saying you need to have the owner giving a good introductory video. Then number two, you would like to have the HR, if you have one, or if you have anyone who will take care of recruiting people, interviewing people, have that person also do a short video introduction. Why? Because she or he will be the first person to talk to those people. It's important that they get used to that person before even talking to them. Number three, employee testimonials. Absolutely vital. You want to show to those candidates how fun it is. And by the way, I don't know how many times you have heard me within the last, 40 minutes, how many times you've heard me saying the word fun. It's another key word. People want to have fun. Life is not fun every day. If they're going to spend most of their life not having fun, that's a very strange disease to me, called masochism. People want to have fun. Are you contributing to people's fun? So you have to question yourself from that viewpoint. Wait a minute, how much fun do we have at work? Are we providing fun? Are we allowing people to have fun? It's a key word. So when you have your employees giving testimonials, there are a few key words. I love the culture. I love the vision. I love what we are doing. Right? The care of our customers is amazing. And you know what? I am having so much fun. By the way, those five criteria do not include money. They do not include money. All right? Then, once you have that, number four, you should have a list of your vacant positions. And I don't want to go too technical about that, but ideally, you would like to have an automatic management of those candidates who send you their resume. But I don't want to go into that today. Make sure that you have that career page dedicated, very nice. By the way, There's something else you should have on that page together with the homepage. And I'm still talking about marketing. There's something else on that career page that should appear clearly as well as on the home page. Any idea? For sure. Yes. But there's something very important. That's a good idea. No. No. Yes, of course. Yeah, we talked about that already, ladies and gentlemen. How many of you are involved in social activities with the business? Social improvement activities. Raise your hand. Okay, that's what should appear. Did you know in America that 73% or 72% of young generation people will give a preference to work for a company that is socially responsible? I'm not suggesting that you use social responsibility as a tool to attract good people, but I'm saying it. At least if you are socially responsible, brag about it. So how many of you who are socially responsible are actually bragging about it on your website? Raise your hand. You see? Look around. Less than 10% of you. That's what I'm talking about. It's marketing. What is it that we need to do to show? What visibility do we need to demonstrate so that those people could be attracted and say, wow, I want to check them out. I want to see what they are doing. Yes, I'm going to spend a couple of hours to go visit them. That's what you need to do. And by the way, social responsibility should always be on your homepage. I told you 72 or 73% of people will work preferably with a socially responsible employer. Guess what? 63 or 64% of customers will give a preference to give their money to a socially responsible supplier. No matter what it is, it doesn't matter what it is. What it means, whatever you do from a social responsibility viewpoint, it means that you are not just there for the money. And I could spend the whole rest of the day talking about that. But social responsibility has become a major tool of attraction, especially for millennials. Okay? So that should be your dedicated page for careers. Now, where else should you show visibility? Your website is one thing. What else?
Trucks.
I'm sorry?
Trucks.
Trucks? Yeah, trucks is a business card. If you have trucks, cars, put it on. We are growing. We need help. Contact us. Give the landing page or give a phone number. Absolutely. Social media is the next one. How many of you are actually, and this is between you and me, a very honest question, how many of you are actually conducted social events at work? Raise your hand. Meaning, what is a social event at work? You know, am I suggesting that you have parties at work? No. One of your employees has a birthday, celebrate. Another employee had a baby, celebrate. There are so many occasions to celebrate. However, if you celebrate, make it visible. Brag about it. So those of you who do celebrate social events, how many of you are actually putting pictures of the events on your Facebook page for the company? That is what I'm talking about. It has to reflect your culture. Are you having fun at work? How can they know? They don't know anything about you. They're going to check. And if they don't see anything that looks like fun, it means you don't do it. Even if you do, you have to take advantage of the social media phenomenon because they'll look at it. Now, depending on the type of job, you might want to be visible on LinkedIn as well, especially for executive positions or partners or whatever. Or suppliers. In America today, if you're in the B2B industry, over 75% of potential clients will check you out as a supplier on LinkedIn. Okay, this is a little bit different than hiring. It's your PR. But hiring has to really take into account the PR of your firm. I'm going to be even more detailed on this. If you're a business owner, hopefully you have a LinkedIn account. How many of you as a business owner, you have a LinkedIn account? How many of you are putting something on that account once a week? Why am I asking the question? Visibility. And I have to be honest with you, I'm older than most of you, and what I'm talking about, I hate it. You know? That's why I made babies 25 years ago, so they could take care of my social media today. I don't have to do it. But that's where it starts. If you are not visible, it will not go anyway. You will spend your time, you will be miserable, and you will wonder, why is it that nobody wants to come to work for me? That's because they can't find you. They don't know where you are, they don't know who you are. You have to brag about it, you have to be more public about it. You have to be outreaching. That's the number one condition. Okay. Now, I'm done with that. I could continue, but I have other stuff to deal with you. Here's another question. If I was asking what is the number one, the most vital, most important quality, talent that you should be looking for, whoever you hire, it doesn't matter what position, what is the number one quality you should be looking for? Attitude, willingness. Listen, everything that you said is right, but I'm going to share with you five criteria, quickly. And you will notice that zero is the number one, but it's so important. It's more important than number one. I didn't know how to put it differently. I said, okay, what's more important than number one? And yes, you are right. Did you know that one-third of all bankruptcies in America occur because of employee theft? Let me say it again. Over 30% of companies go bankrupt in the USA because of employee theft, which, by the way, is 15 times higher than external theft. 15 times. One-third of bankruptcies. Honesty. Yes, sir. I heard Rick mentioning Warren Buffett earlier. I wrote a white paper not too long ago, The Integrity Challenge, and I quote Warren Buffett. I really love what he said. He says, you know, you're always looking for three qualities when you hire people. Three. In the right sequence, he says. Number one, honesty. Number two, they have to be bright. Number three, they have to be hard workers. And then he says, if they only have the two latest qualities, they'll use those qualities to screw you. So, three qualities. I'm quoting Warren, okay? Three qualities. Number one, honesty. Number two, they have to be bright. Doesn't say a high IQ. Not necessarily. They have to be bright. And number three, they have to be hard workers. If they're only bright and hard workers, they will use those two qualities to screw you, which is why honesty is more important than anything else. And yet, it is not easy to find out. Because the biggest mistake the majority of recruiters make, they hire who they see. And 9 times out of 10, who you see today is going to be very different tomorrow. How many of you have experienced that? See? Never hire who you see. Because what you see, per definition, by the way, of the word personality, you know what personality means? I don't want to go into psychology stuff here. It's just a definition. Yes, someone was in my seminar before, right? Yes? Someone said mask. You are right. Personality comes from Latin word personae. And the first definition of the word is mask. If you hire what you see, you are hiring a mask. And you don't know who's hiding behind. You have never had a candidate telling you during an interview, listen, I hate people, I'm lazy, I don't want to work in a team, I'm just here for the paycheck. Never. In fact, the more they tell me they're honest, the less I believe them. You know, I remember I was telling this to a client, and one day he has an interview and he asked the question to the candidate, prove me that you are honest. And the candidate said, what do you mean? I am honest. I believe in God. I believe in this. I am very honest. I would never lie to anyone. Prove it to me. And the candidate starts to get very upset. What do you mean? If you cannot believe that I am honest, why should I work with you? He stood up and he left. The client calls him and he says, you know what happened? He says, just for the sake of fun, I called his references. It was all lies. It was all lies. And he was bragging about his honesty, right? So the conclusion is the more they say it, the less you believe it, right? Now, I will tell you also that it's not easy, but you don't have a choice. You have to be able to observe people and find out if you can actually detect integrity or lack of integrity, right? And in my course, in my kit that Howard was mentioning, I give a full procedure with a checklist on how to detect integrity. I give a full procedure during an interview, and I call it the naked interview. Meaning that if you ask those questions in that specific sequence, after 10 to 15 minutes, the candidate is naked, literally. No, not physically. They can't lie if you know what you are trying to evaluate. And that's the number one. So important that I call it number zero. Okay, number two. No, number one. After zero. Why are you hiring people? What is the most important reason you are hiring people? But to do what? To perform. Right? You don't hire them to show up from 9 to 5. You hire them because you need someone to perform. And that is the next criteria that we need to look at. I call it the performance mindset. The performance mindset. And in my program, I teach people on how to recognize if someone is result-driven. You have to be able to evaluate if those people are result-driven. Let me give an example. How many of you have ever had an employee who was extremely willing, but she would come very early in the morning, always be the last one to leave in the evening, yet the job was never done? And she or he was completely overwhelmed and really working hard, but the job would never be done. How many of you have experienced that? That's what I'm talking about. You need to evaluate the capacity to think in terms of performance. Because if they don't have that capacity, they will not perform, no matter how nice they are. Next one. Willingness. Willingness is a vital quality, which, by the way, is a soft skill. It's not a hard skill. Willingness means, am I willing to work in a new environment? Am I willing to do stuff that I have never done before? Am I willing to learn? Willingness to learn is an important criteria, because when they are not willing to learn, there's many other weaknesses that will come up, such as intolerance. There's nothing more frustrating than having to deal with an employee who believes they know it all. How many of you have had to deal with that? Very tough. They go, you know, they drive people crazy in the team. So willingness is extremely important. More important than the next one, which is why the next one is only the next one, know-how. Know-how. Basically, does the candidate present the appropriate technical skills, competences, hard skills? It's only there. It is not up here. In today's economic environment, this is one of the biggest mistakes you might want to avoid, is to look for people who are extremely qualified. You know why? They know it all. That's number one. Number two, Number three, they don't know that they don't know it all, right? They know it all. They'll be very intolerant when you tell them to learn something. They cost more money, much more money. I'm talking about could cost twice as much money. And believe they just deserve that money for the title that they have. It's very, very difficult to deal with. So I'm not saying it's not important. I'm saying it's not the most important. Because if someone has the know-how but does not have the willingness, that's going to cost you a lot of money and a lot of frustration. Right? So this is the right sequence. And last, wait a minute. 1, 2, 3, 4. No. The 5, that's the 0 here. Yeah, forget about it. The last one is what I call personality. Why do I put it as the last criteria? Is it because it's the least important? No! It's because it's the most dangerous one. It's the most difficult thing to detect. Like I said earlier, nobody will tell you they hate you. Nobody will tell you, I don't want to work with other people. I'm money motivated. I want to sleep. I want to have a nap 3 times a day. Nobody will say that. But the danger with personality, again, is when you interview someone, you see that person, and do you know that it takes on average about 3 minutes to decide if you like that person or not? And within the next minute, you decide if you're going to hire or not. 3 to 4 minutes. All right? It's called, we call it in the business, the halo effect. H-A-L-O. The halo effect. Have you ever heard of that? Halo effect, meaning you tend to project onto other people what you want. So for some reason, they get it and they show you what you want. That's very interesting. For example, you hire a sales guy, you want that sales guy to be a top closer, you ask him, are you a good closer? Come on, show me that you are a good closer. So of course I'm a good closer. I'm a great closer. I'm actually the best closer in the world. He tells you what you want. And you take it. Because that's what you want to hear. You know, for $350, anyone can go on internet and get trained to pass a recruitment interview. For less than $400, they're going to spend 2 or 3 hours with someone who's going to drill them. How to answer questions. What should you say? What should you not say? So they get drilled. Then they come in front of you. The makeup is great. But don't fall in the personality trap by hiring what you see, because most of the time you see a mask. Now again, in my program, I'll teach on how to go through the mask. Would you like to have a little example of application?
Yeah.
I just want to give you an example of application of this. Performance. Very important. By the way, when I go through 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm going to find out about 0. Right? It's not that I have to find about 0 first, and when I'm done, I go to the next one. No. At each step, I'm going to also check honesty. For example, if I want to check that the person is performance-driven, one thing I'm going to ask during the interview is this. Hey, could you tell me of a specific example, something that you achieved on the job that was amazing? Because I know the word achievement is very important. So ask them. And sometimes they don't understand the question. So I repeat the question. Yeah, you must have achieved something in the last 3 years that would make your boss proud or made you proud, something that was amazing. Tell me, what did you achieve on that job? And whatever the person says, sometimes they say nothing. Now, if they say nothing, what does it mean? They are not performers. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be that simple. If they cannot talk about it, that means they are not performers. And if they start to brag about an amazing achievement, I stay quiet. And I say, wow, that's amazing. And then I ask the killing question. I call it the killing question because it is. I ask them, who could confirm that? And ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee that's the best moment of my day. Because then you observe the reaction, right? And you see within a minute or two if the person was lying. I've had candidates standing up and leaving the room. When I would ask the question, they would say, what do you mean? Yeah, you know, it's a policy in the business. It's not just you, but we have a policy of asking for references. So is there anyone who could confirm what you just told me? And I will wait for your permission, but at some point I will call. And he said, well, if you cannot trust what I'm saying, I don't know why I should work here. And I said to him, you are right. Yeah. Listen, even if it's 1 out of 20, not even 1 out of 5, you need to be a top recruiter. You need to be very good at it, because even 1 out of 20, that's 5%, they will make your life miserable. You cannot afford that. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
You have so much to do every day. You know, I want to quote another beautiful quote from Jim Collins, from Good to Great. You've read the book, Jim Collins? He said in the book, you know, he was doing a research to find out what common denominators he could get out of the very successful businesses over time. And one thing that he found out is this, and he said it in one chapter. He says, good to great leaders, they made a big difference by, one, finding good people to get on the bus and get the wrong people off the bus, and two, figure out where we would drive the bus. Now, I did an MBA, USC, 1984. I never learned that thing. I was thinking, wait a minute, that's wrong sequence. Per my MBA, first you have to decide where you go, right? And then you bring people in who's going to help to go there. Jim Collins found the exact reverse. He said, what is common to all successful businesses, they put more attention on bringing the right people on the bus, because if they are the right people, they will help me get where I want to go. But I will even tell them, hey, where do we go? They'll figure out. That's quite crazy, isn't it? It completely challenges what we have learned. Now, you'd better know where you are going. I'm not saying that you can afford to be in total mystery about your future. But what I'm saying is, when you get people who are the right people first, it makes things much easier. Which is why, again, you've got to be a very good, a phenomenal recruiter, because the future of your business depends on it. All right? And I've done this business for 30 years, and that's the reason I'm continuing to do this, is the number one reason why business don't do well. It's the number one reason. Remember, 30% of the businesses go bankrupt because of internal theft? Well, guess what? Per McKinsey, you know the company McKinsey, this big consulting firm in New York? Usually when a company calls McKinsey, you know what's going to happen. You know what's going to happen. What? They start to sell the assets, trying to salvage the company. They fire as many people as they can. Anyway, that's the reputation they have. But they made a very interesting observation. 58% of companies that would go bankrupt had nothing to do with the product, with the marketing challenges, with the condition of the market. It has everything to do with the inability of management to manage people. 58% of bankruptcies. See? So, whatever business you are dealing with, you are in the people business. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So you don't have a choice. You need to be very good at it. Now, any question on that? Make sense? All right? If you hire someone who's extremely willing but does not perform, it's not going to work. So you look at the sequence here. If they have everything here but are not honest, as Warren Buffett says, they're going to use their qualities to screw you. All right? By the way, if you look, I will always show this. You have a relationship here between, on the top here you have willingness, on the top, on this bar, right? And on this horizontal bar you have competence, right? So it's either low or high, low or high. So you are basically evaluating the importance of two criteria, willingness and competence. And what I see most of the time is that everybody wants to get the A type of candidate. They are extremely willing and extremely competent. Everybody wants that. Guess what? Are you willing to pay for those? I am not even sure that you want them, to be honest with you. First of all, they have a job, so it's going to cost you much more money to actually steal them. All right? Plus, if they are competent in another business, does it mean they're going to be competent with you? No. Let me tell you something, another shocking statement. Per my experience after evaluating over 25,000 applicants, I have always had, as a professional recruiter, more success to hire someone from another industry for my clients. I would say 7-3. 70% success versus 30% no success. Hiring someone who was not raised in that industry. Latest example in Chicago, I have a client, he's a big printing company, and we were recruiting salespeople for him, and he was keeping telling me, Patrick, I need someone with experience in the printing industry. And I said, no. And I said no twice, and three times, and 10 times. And then one day he says, well, if you don't want to find someone in my industry, I'll stop working with you. I said, yes, that's fine. We can work together or not. It doesn't change anything for me. But I know I'm right. From an integrity viewpoint, I am not going to compromise. By chance, the same day or the next day, we get a resume from this kid, no experience in the printing industry, but some experience in the imaging industry. I'll make a long story short, they were looking for someone of at least 5 years experience in the printing industry. That kid, 0 years in the printing industry, right? I closed my client to try. And I said, listen, if the kid does not stay on the job for 3 months, I replace him for free. Make a long story short, it's been a year and a half. After less than a year, he was number one salesman in the company. After 1 year. He had everything else. In your industry, how long does it take to know the business from a pure technical viewpoint? Maximum 6 months. Would you agree? Most of the time, 1 to 3 months. So, yes, they are somewhere, but they cost a lot of money, and they might not be the easiest people to manage. So, the next thing you want someone who's eventually very willing, might not be so competent. That's the kid on the printing business I was telling you about. All right, that's the second choice. For me, it's the number one. Why? Because they cost less money. They are more flexible. They are more willing to learn because they know they have to learn. Those people, they don't know they have to learn. By the way, I don't want to generalize. It's not always the case. I'm just saying it's 10 times more challenging. Okay, the biggest mistake, of course, you never want to make. Never. Yet, that's the number one mistake that small businesses make. Is the guy is so competent, you are blinded. Makes you blind. You know it's going to cost you no time to get the person operational on the job. Oh my God, I'm so happy. I'm not going to have to take care of this guy. Big, big mistake. There's only another bigger mistake you could make. But I don't think you have ever made that one unless you were drunk. Right, the guy is incompetent and not willing. What the heck were you doing? Okay? All right, anyway, my message today was to really beg you, if you want to grow, if you want to expand, it will depend on your ability to attract and select good people. That is the number one function. You can look at all successful companies, small or large, they put 2 to 3 times more attention on that function than any other. Okay? All right, Mr. Howard.
Yes.
I think I'm late. It's 2:30. I'm right on time. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a pleasure to work with you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Stay standing, folks. I got to get a shot of that. Did you get that, Andy? Okay. All right. Clap again for Patrick. Yeah, there you go. All right. All right. I got some phenomenal news for you. And that is, even though he's a black belt in Taekwondo, I think you guys should do a demonstration for us. Even though he's a black belt in Taekwondo, I did twist his arm in Clearwater, Florida, and we're going to do a program together. So get his hire box. Normally, your training kit costs how much?
About $800. They can get it for $429.
That's $497.
$497.
Yeah. Okay. $497. Yeah. So $497. If you order today, we're passing out some order forms. And I twisted his arm to do a 12-week program. There's going to be 12 modules. So you're going to get your kit. And seriously, I've been reading this thing every day and going through the manuals. It's awesome. And so he will have a weekly or 12 sessions. We might skip a week here and there. 12 live sessions on video where Patrick will teach you each one of the concepts in the training kit. And if you can't make one particular date or whatever, they will be recorded so that you can play them for your managers or you can replay them over and over. And if you can be on live, then you can ask questions. But if you can't be on live, just submit a question to us and we'll have him answer the question and address it on the very next video. Okay? So anyway, when you do the 12-part program, you'll get the hiring kit for free. We're passing around some forms right now. And go ahead and just fill that out, turn it in at the table back there. So what questions, you can go ahead and sit down now. What questions do you have for Patrick before we break?
Yeah, one thing I want to say is when we do those sessions, every down-to-earth questions you have with candidates, with marketing, we will answer those questions. I mean, basically, I'm giving you my hat as a professional recruiter. I've never done this before. He twisted my arm. It's actually hurting today. but I want you to understand, this is a down-to-earth, very practical, driven type of session. And even out of the sessions, you have questions, you can send them to me. I really want you guys to make it, knowing that it starts with hiring the right people. There were some questions.
Absolutely. Who has the first question? Network marketing.
Yeah, do have.
I like your mic work.
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
I do have quite a good experience with network marketing, and I will tell you what. The big problem when you do this business is you hire the wrong people. And they always tell you numbers, numbers, numbers. You're going to waste your time with 80% of them, but you're going to be good with 20% of them. I say that's not true. The first thing I would suggest to you is do a benchmarking. How many people you have? All right, so go to your upline, whoever it is, and ask them what is the profile of their best sales rep. And right, that's benchmarking. Good. Now, there's a way to do that with it. I will share with you during the sessions. You want to benchmark every successful person in the company before you hire anyone. Next time you hire a sales rep, if you already have one, if he sucks, well, you don't have to benchmark that one. But you could even benchmark someone in another business that has a similar type of activity and find out why they're doing so well.
That's good.
That's benchmarking.
That's good. Okay, next question. Yes, sir.
How do you overcome the challenge? Okay. Thanks, Sandy. You're involved. That's service right there.
I'm telling you.
How do you overcome the challenge of attracting qualified people who meet all the other criteria to a geographical location that is less than desirable and entails significant commute and all the negatives that come with it?
Yeah, and that's a big challenging question, and I will tell you what, my philosophy is there's someone out there who will take the job. But you're going to have to be willing maybe to go out of your zone. Did you try to hire out of state?
We hire nationally.
Nationally? You know, I have some clients like chiropractors and physical therapists, they're in the middle of nowhere. I sometimes ask them, why are you a chiropractor? You should be a vet. Because there's nobody there, you know? And funny enough, there was a guy in Idaho, in the middle of nowhere, 1,500 people. We found someone who wanted to be there. But what it takes visibility. I'm not saying it's easy. It's going to take even more marketing. stuff.
Okay, final question. Yes.
Thank you. What company, in your expert opinion, represents everything that you recommended that we can take a look at their website and that's impressed you most, whether American or international company?
No, I can give you a company that impresses me very, very much because I trained them. That's why they are so good at it. Postcon Mania.
Yeah. They're great. I have been there. Their culture is unbelievable. 200 of the most excited, engaged employees you've ever met. Very excited. And most of them are young. You know?
Very young, yeah. And go how to the career page.
Yeah, go to the career page. How old is the is Melissa, the president?
The current president, I think she's barely, maybe 32.
Yeah.
33. She started when she was 19 as an aide.
Yeah. 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 Perfect. Yeah. Okay. So fill out the form, meet Patrick, turn it in back there. And Patrick, if you'll be back there where they're turning in forms for any questions that you have. And we'll start up again in about 15 minutes or so. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. Give it up for Patrick one more time.
Thank you.